From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Monday, April 15th, and here are today's headlines. Shortly after unveiling plans for a major education funding overhaul, lawmakers appear to be backtracking. Last week, a tax writing committee in the Vermont House took a first look at legislation that, starting in 2027, would dramatically curtail local control in school budgeting. But just 2 days later, Democratic Representative Emily Kornheiser from Brattleboro, who chairs the panel, announced to her committee that she no longer felt it was wise to move so quickly. She said there is too little time left in the session, and modeling on the bill's impacts is not yet available.
I don't feel personally comfortable with even setting that in motion, given that I have not seen the numbers yet myself, even let alone all of us and the body politic.
The committee continues to entertain more limited cost containment measures, including a tax penalty when districts spend over a certain threshold. As efforts grow to improve farm worker housing in Vermont, advocates say the state should carry forward that momentum. Several years ago, the Vermont Housing and Conservation Board produced a report highlighting widespread health and safety concerns among farm worker housing. The next year, the board funded loan programs for repairing and replacing farm worker housing. And according to the Champlain Housing Trust, which administers those programs, 41 farm workers have benefited from the improvements. But Champlain Orchards farm worker and advocate Ernest Buster Coswell told lawmakers last week they should look into more funding than what's provided by just the Vermont Housing and Conservation Board.
Great work. I can't stress how great the board has come, but it's only one funding source. We need to continue capitalizing on that so we continue the success.
The Champlain Housing Trust says the board has provided funding through 2026, by which time they expect to improve housing for over 400 farm workers. And we'll also be hearing shortly about ways to make health and safety information more accessible to people in Vermont who may not be fluent speakers of English. The Chittenden County Sheriff's Office has issued a warning about a phone scam. Several residents reported someone calling them in reference to arrest warrants being issued for missed jury duty and asking for money to clear them, according to a press release. The caller is reported to be using a number beginning with Vermont's 802 area code, as well as using the names of real Vermont sheriff's deputies. The sheriff's office warns residents should hang up and not provide any personal information or share credit card information. Law enforcement does not clear arrest warrants or court cases by asking for money. They ask that you report any phone scam incidents to the Attorney General's Office or the Chittenden County Sheriff's Office. Researchers at the University of New Hampshire have been studying how to make channeled whelk fishing more sustainable amid warming ocean temperatures. Channeled whelk is a type of shellfish found along the East Coast, but its native habitat has been shrinking. UNH Professor Elizabeth Fairchild worked closely with fishermen on Martha's Vineyard to conduct the research.
We're trying to work with industry to help them. A lot of times they have questions, and that's how our research projects develop, or regulations are being set, but not based on a lot of known biological data. So that's where we come in.
Fairchild said channeled whelk are not yet in New Hampshire waters, but the rising sea temperatures linked to climate change could make the Gulf of Maine a comfortable home for the aquatic animal. Coming up, continuing efforts to share health and safety information for people in Vermont who don't speak English. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
When COVID-19 emerged 4 springs ago, information about staying safe rolled out on a daily and sometimes hourly basis in Vermont. But that information, hard enough to keep up with for English speakers, was less accessible to Vermonters who spoke different languages. Into that gap sprung the Vermont Language Justice Project. It's an initiative to share health and safety information among Vermont's immigrant and refugee communities. 4 years later, Vermont Public's Elodie Reed reports on how the project has expanded and how it might continue into the future if it gets the funding to do so.
If you're familiar with the Vermont music scene, you might recognize this voice.
Me?
as belonging to the Kenyan-American singer-songwriter Karobo. Karobo was also a caseworker for the Association of Africans Living in Vermont, helping people who arrive as refugees get settled and thrive here. Part of that work is disseminating information to the community, which is where this 2021 music video, titled Chanjo, comes in. With dancers all around her, Karobo sings in Swahili and encourages viewers to get the COVID-19 vaccine to save lives.
There were anti-vaxxers out there. And so I thought, hey, why don't I make a video, a song music video, that would help my community.
At one point in the video, Karobo gets her own COVID shot.
And they saw me actually taking the vaccine, and I didn't suddenly have like five heads. A bunch of things that people were being told out there. That they started to feel a little bit comfortable to participate in taking the vaccine.
That kind of tailored public health outreach reflects what social worker and videographer Allison Seeger wanted to accomplish with the Vermont Language Justice Project. It was during the first dark days of the pandemic in March 2020 that Seeger says she began worrying for her family, friends, and clients with limited English and limited reading and writing skills.
So I was really concerned about how they were going to gather information about what seemed to be this completely terrifying virus that was sweeping the world.
Seeger says she started working from her kitchen, talking over Zoom with community partners to work on messaging. With people like Karobo on board, Seeger says the project began to produce COVID-19 safety videos in 10 different languages.
The translators were sending them out to their communities. The school districts were sending just the audio files out through robocall systems.
Initially, Seeger says, everyone did this work for free. Then,
I think when the Department of Health realized what we were doing and knew that we were really kind of doing their job for them, they absolutely stepped in and gave some money so that we could pay our translators for the work that they were doing.
In 2021, Seeger says the Vermont Language Justice Project received nearly $330,000 from the Department of Health through a CDC COVID-19 health equity grant. Thanks to that money and to some additional grants, she says they now have 3 full-time staffers. And their videos are available in 18 different languages.
We've made over 140 videos in any one language.
All these videos have a combined 227,000 plus views. And they're no longer just about COVID.
¿Sabías que habrá un eclipse total el lunes 8
de abril de 2020? Did you know that parts of our state will see a total eclipse?
¿Es que conoce que un eclipse solar el 8 de abril de 2024?
In addition to covering of-the-moment topics like eclipse or flood safety, they also tackle ongoing everyday topics, like how to pick up medication from the pharmacy, information about ticks, and tips for how parents can talk with and listen to their kids.
Each time I send out the video, share with them, and they all get back to me. Say, it's really good.
This is Lily Fung, who serves Chinese communities through the Vermont Language Justice Project. She says there's a particular need to address language and cultural barriers among the families who operate Chinese restaurants in Vermont.
A lot of them tell me, Lily, you know, I have eyes, I cannot read, I have a mouth, I cannot talk, I have ears, I don't understand.
They're serving as like trusted messengers, right, and cultural liaisons to communities that the health department has struggled to reach.
This is Sarah Chesbro with the health department.
You know, everyone needs to stay safe and healthy in emergency situations or you know, public health crises. Not having that information available to them is inequitable, but also puts lives at risk. So this is really, to me, life and death information.
The challenge, though, is that the major chunk of money the Vermont Language Justice Project relies on, that CDC COVID grant, is running out. Allison Seeger expects it to dry up by December. And she says the Vermont Language Justice Project is looking everywhere for more funding. Chesbro, who is the health department's point of contact for the Vermont Language Justice Project's grant funds, says she hopes programs in the department and across state government, nonprofits, and community organizations can chip in.
And I'm not quite sure, you know, how that would look from place to place, but it would be really amazing for them to be able to sustain funding to continue their work.
The Vermont Language Justice Project's funding is an open question. But according to testimonials from people working in Vermont's health, refugee resettlement, and equity organizations, the project services are vital, and there would be a void without them.
This is a resource that didn't exist prior to the Vermont Language Justice Project.
This is Cheryl Wilcox with the Department of Mental Health.
At this point, you know, having things in different languages and interpreting them, like it's not an extra thing. It's something we should be doing.
Underneath Caribou's Chanjo YouTube video about the COVID-19 vaccine, there are dozens of comments expressing gratitude. The messages are from Swahili speakers, English speakers, and from people in other states who say they work with refugee communities.
I just think that when people hear their mother tongue first, it's so grounding that it makes them feel like this is I'm part of this culture, of this community too, that I matter, that, you know, someone is paying attention to what I'm going through.
Caribou says providing information this way works, and that it should be supported. For Vermont Public, I'm Elodie Reed. Change.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Lola Dufour, Elodie Reed, Mary Engish, and the New England News Collaborative. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.